We're going to have a treat this morning. Well, I'm sure that's going to be later. Ice cream, maybe later. I don't know. Maybe some cake, maybe some pie. I figured since we were going to be here anyway for a picnic that I would take this time and preach a 9-point sermon. And if you look at the back of your bulletin, guess what? We have a 9-point sermon today. We're going to have some fun this morning. We're going to talk about celebrating as a church. Our church picnic is today. We're celebrating friendship, fellowship. But we're going to talk about that we should be celebrating all the time as the church. Unfortunately, there are people out there that say, I love God, but not the church. They say, I love God by the church. But I want to say that we love God means that we also love the church as well. Look at Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 40. We read these words, Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commands. Did you notice a word in there? It's a big word. You find it right after 39. And. What's the greatest commandment? Well, you love the Lord and you love your neighbor. Because they are tied together to love God and to love people. You may say, well, what does that have to do with church? Well, what is a church? The body, but we're people. This isn't a church. This isn't a church. This is not the church. You, we're all the church. We are the church. 2 Corinthians 6:16 says, And God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk with them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. We are people who love God, but we're people who make mistakes. When people say they love God and not the church, they say it because they see things that happen and they blame the church. But let me tell you, we are all sinners. We all have failed. People in the church has failed since the church started. Acts 5, Ananias and Sapphira. They were struck dead because of what? They lied about money. They exaggerated. Can anybody here tell me, raise their hand and say they've never exaggerated about something? I caught that fish and it was that long. Then Paul told the Corinthians that some of them may be sick or die if they take communion wrong. People were doing that. The church is far from perfect. We let that excuse come in. The world lets that excuse come in. The church is far from perfect. Life is complex. There are many things going on. There are many options besides the church. Many people distrust any institution of organized religion, they would say. It's trendy to write the church off. That's the trendy thing. But it's a mistake. Instead of writing off the church, we need to, as sinners forgiven by the grace of God, celebrate the salvation that we have through it. And I want to start out today reading in the book of Ephesians. If you turn in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to start with verses 11 through 14. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. Some of you may be saying, well, he hasn't got to point one yet, and there's nine. How many? What's going on here? Ephesians 2, verses 11 through 14, this is what it says. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. We have reason to celebrate because Jesus broke the barrier. We can have peace through him. We are not just bound to our wrongs, our sins, the things that we've done. We can be saved by the grace of God, by the blood of Jesus. That should bring us much joy in separating and bring us together. You hear that there, those unifying words. Bring two to one. Church should be about unity. We need to be celebrating as a church. Let me read on. If you skip down to verse 19, we're going to read through 22. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. We have the best foundation in the world, Jesus Christ. It is through Jesus that we have unity. Paul's words here are just simply beautiful. And we need to be celebrating that. And I want to talk about 9 reasons this morning why we should be celebrating as a church. 9 reasons. The first one should be pretty simple if you're looking at your paper. Starting off, God. God better be first in all of our lives and as a church as well. We celebrate God first as a church. I love the words in Psalm 145, verses 6 through 8. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Without God, we wouldn't have the church. Without God, we wouldn't have life. God brought us near to him through the blood of Jesus. And we should be celebrating that. We should be thankful for that. We should be excited about that. Psalm 47:1, clap your hands, all peoples. Shout to God with loud songs of joy. We need to start off by celebrating God individually and as a church. God first. And then we celebrate salvation. Second point, salvation. The creator of the universe, the originator of life, loves us so much that he gave his son to die on a cross. You think about that. You think about the love that God has for each and every individual person here and in the world. That he would send Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. Love the words in Ephesians 5 that says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be whole, that she might be holy and without blemish. God knows we're not perfect. God knows that we have failed, and he sent Jesus to die on the cross to wipe that blemish away. So when we appear before God, we will be pure. He wants us to be with him. When was the last time you felt awestruck at knowing God wants you to be with him? We can say it. We can say it every day. But when was the last time you were awestruck at knowing God wants you to be with him? Have you ever marveled at that? If we go on reading in Ephesians 5, it says in verses 29 and 30, "For no one has ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body." We are members of his body. We should be thankful and excited and in awe and simply happy that we are part of the body of Christ. Think of those words in the Sermon on the Mount where they say, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." And they start off with everything, blessed, blessed, blessed. Blessed also means happy, that genuine feeling of happiness, knowing that we have salvation through God because of Jesus' death. Church, we need to celebrate it. We need to celebrate it and be excited about it. We should be so excited about it that we're serving faithfully. Number three, ministry volunteers. We should be celebrating as a church through our ministry, through what we're doing, through serving. We've been called to share the gospel and serve the church. I'm reminded of Paul's words in Acts 20 when he was addressing the Ephesian leaders. And he closed his address to them with these words. "In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" In our hearts, we're thankful for the sacrifice given to us. And we're strive to be like God, so we should be striving to be holy. Christ was a servant, so we should be striving to be servants. Be willing to sacrifice. Be willing to serve. We should celebrate that. We should celebrate serving as a church through ministry. Which leads to my next one. Community impact. We need to be serving the community. That's who we're supposed to be reaching. Jesus said before he was taken up to heaven in Acts 1:8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." We support and give to missions that are far away, like Salim in Pakistan. Jerusalem is important as well. Warren is our Jerusalem. Cortland is our Jerusalem. Champion is our Jerusalem. We need to serve the local community as well and be excited about that, because we're sharing the greatest gift in the world. We serve, we share the good news, and we celebrate that. We need to be celebrating God and letting people know how great God is and that we all should be celebrating Him. And we should also be celebrating with the other churches as well. Number five, other churches. I love the fact that we have started adding in our bulletin that, you know, where we pray for other churches. We're not alone in this. We're not an island. We're not alone. And there is danger to isolating. We must understand that each individual church is important to reach the local community. And we are a part of the universal church. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 15 says, And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. We share the good news. We share the truth. We support our other churches. We are all the body. We equip, we train, we build. What is the greatest job we have as a church? Share Jesus. Share Jesus. Number one job, share Jesus. Tell people about Jesus. Love on them. Care for them. Help them. Share the good news of Jesus Christ. We are not alone on this, and we need to continue to pray for other churches and spread the gospel through this community. Let's move on to point six. We need to celebrate prayers answered. We need to continue to celebrate prayers answered. I love the story in Acts 12. You remember when Peter was jailed? James, the brother of John, was just beheaded. People liked it, so they went and got another apostle. They got Peter. They brought him in prison, and the church was praying. They were praying, and they were praying. And then Peter's miraculous escape. And then he goes to Mary, mother of John's house, one of the places they were praying. And Peter knocks on the door. And Rhoda comes to the door, the little servant girl comes to the door. She opens the door and slams it in his face. She couldn't believe it. That can't be Peter. Slams the door in his face. She runs off to tell everybody, leaving Peter standing at the door. She goes and tells everybody, Peter's at the door. And they're going, no, he's not at the door. Peter's not at the door. And then we read there in verses 16 and 17. But Peter kept on knocking. And when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Peter motioned with his hand for them to be quiet and described how the Lord had brought him out of prison. Tell James and the other brothers about this, he said. And then he left for another place. Peter wanted to make sure that they knew that prayers were answered. He wanted to make sure that prayers were answered. He was freed from prison. He didn't die. I read this someplace. I don't know who the author of it with it was, but it makes so much sense when it comes to prayer. What you celebrate, you become. And if we're celebrating prayer, those people who around us who may not understand that it's prayer, maybe they'll start seeing. Maybe they'll start seeing more clearly that it's God and not just some random occurrence. What some may chalk up to just good fortune or coincidence is actually the power of God. We need to celebrate answered prayers. We need to celebrate our involvements in groups. It's great and it's awesome that we gather here on Sunday mornings. But let's not make this our only time we gather together. Number 7, involvement in groups. We should, as a church, celebrate involvement in groups. We should want to see small groups grow and see more small groups come and more small groups, because there's many opportunities in small groups. We build relationships that we won't be able to do here on a Sunday morning. We get closer to one another. We may use it as an opportunity to bring people in who have never experienced church before and get their foot in the door. And then we just learn together. We grow closer. We gather and we grow. And that was the early church, Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. They never stopped learning and growing with one another. Celebrate the small groups. If you're not in a small group, get in a small group. You can't ever stop learning. Which leads to my next point, number 8, Bible reading. We should celebrate that we have this every day. There are countries where they have to smuggle this in for people to read it. And yet in America, we take it for granted. We celebrate God's Word and we read it. Once read an interesting article by a Jewish author who was talking about how in Jewish customs, when they celebrate things, they say, Mazel Tov. That's how they celebrate. In other words, congratulations. It's an expression of joy when people complete something. But they never say that when it comes to reading the Bible. Or they would say reading the Torah. One example we find is in Joshua chapter 1. You can turn your Bibles over there as I'm talking about this. In Joshua chapter 1, the end of Deuteronomy ends with Moses' death, and Joshua is getting ready to take over. The next book of the Bible is Joshua. And in the first 9 verses, God tells Joshua, not congratulations, but these words we find in verses 6 through 9, which says this: Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to turn to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let the book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Not congratulations, you're in charge now, Joshua, but be strong and courageous. When we usually reach a goal, we celebrate, or as the Jewish people say, Mazel Tov. But what happens when we celebrate a goal? When we reach a point that we could say is an end point, we stop. We're done. It's the end. We're done. You can't read through the Bible and finish and say, we're done. Great. All right. Good. The Bible was never meant to read through once and stop. Never meant that way. There is no finishing the Bible. It's not possible. You don't finish the Bible. You continue as God told Joshua to meditate day and night. He didn't say meditate till you're done. Till you're finished with it, and then don't meditate anymore. We don't stop reading the Bible. The Bible is not meant to simply just to be words to be read. But it's to be lived. And our lives don't last just the amount of time it takes to read it one time. I mean, how many of you did the Bible in a year thing? Well, don't our lives, haven't we lived all longer than a year? Anybody here live less than a year? I don't think you can answer if you just lived less than a year. We're meant to read it and reread it and reread it and reread it and meditate and grow. We need to honor and celebrate God's Word. Celebrate it as a church. Keep reading it. Keep studying it. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verse 18, Solomon said these words, "She is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Those who lay hold of her will be blessed. That she is wisdom." And what is the greatest wisdom that we have? I'll give you a hint. What's the greatest wisdom we have? Embrace God's Word. We will find strength studying God's Word and continue to grow by studying God's Word. I've given you 8 points. I've kind of hit them all quick. Got one left. Bet you can guess the last one. Insert point one to point nine. God. We start with God, we end with God, or in other words, we never stop with God. God should be constantly all through everything that we just talked about. We never stop celebrating God. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Don't stop celebrating God. Don't stop. He's our only hope. He's our salvation. He is our life. He is what should make us go every day. Is God. Don't ever forget those words in John 14:6. Jesus is talking. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You can't celebrate God if you're not a part of His church or if you're not a part of those who have given their life to Him. If you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, how can you celebrate God? This time we offer a time of invitation. If you don't know Jesus, you can come forward today and make Him Lord. You can confess that Jesus is Lord. Once you want Him to be your Savior, your Lord. You can start repenting, start changing your ways and saying, okay, God, my ways don't work. I get it. I'm going to follow Your ways. Be baptized into Him. Bury that old life. Start new. You can do that today. We're going to sing a song of invitation. I'm going to ask you all to stand. We're going to sing, "Here I Am to Worship." So as a church, we celebrate. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my King. Butch, I'm going to have you come up while I go back and play. Let's sing with us now. As we sing for a time of invitation.